I invite you to join with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge Thee as the Lord God omnipotent, who reigneth forever and ever, and Jesus Christ as Thy Son and our Lord. We thank Thee for all good things, for Thy universal and eternal dominion as expressed in the kingdom of God upon this earth, for Thy boundless love as manifested in the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ and His death for our sins, for Thy electing grace in calling us into Thy service, for Thy providence in ordering our lives and giving to them the enlightening power of Thy Holy Spirit. Keep us aware, our Father, of Thy blessings. Help us not to take them for granted. Make us sensitive to the common joys of life, the glory of the autumn trees, the friendly greetings of our neighbors, the warm hand clasps of our brothers in Christ, the love of those who are dear to us, the fellowship we have on this campus. Help us ever to remember that these are all gifts from Thee. We confess to Thee our sins. We have been too self-centered, too careless concerning Thy laws, too indifferent of the needs and the sufferings of others. Accept our repentance and forgive, we pray, and keep us in the paths of holiness and truth. We offer today an especial petition for our country. Guide the people of the United States in the choice of a president to lead us in these challenging times. May Thy will be done. May that man be chosen who is best qualified to lead this great nation to its rightful destiny and to the nations of the world in the paths of freedom and peace. With the choice made, may bitterness be forgotten and the ranks of our citizenship closed for a united march into the future behind the new leader. Breathe upon us Thy Spirit in this hour of worship and make us receptive to Thy truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hymn 465. Hear the testimony of an old man, that is, comparatively old, who had spent 25 turbulent years in the service of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, and from prison, the first chapter, beginning with the 12th verse, says, I want you to know, brothers, that the things that happened unto me have turned out rather unto the progress of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all of the Praetorian Guard and to all the rest. And the more part of the brethren in the Lord being in a state of persuasion because of my bonds, all the more dare on speaking the word of God without fear. Some, because of envy and strife, and some because of goodwill, are preaching Christ. The former of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. The latter, from faction, are proclaiming Christ, not sincerely, thinking to raise up affliction for my bonds. So what? We might translate, so what? Only that in every way, either in pretense or truth, Christ is being proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, and I will go on rejoicing. For I know that this will turn out for salvation, for my salvation, or salvation for me, by reason of your prayer and the full supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And in keeping with my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be made ashamed, but in all boldness as always, now Christ shall be magnified in my body, either through life or through death. For to me, as I see it, as I look at it, to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Then Paul goes on to say he's not making a selfish choice. He's not going to announce what he would do. But he knows that if he can be of any service, then he will remain in the flesh. I have the conviction that we could do with a bit more of enthusiasm, joy, and radiance in our interpretation of Christianity. Now, I know that enthusiasm, joy, and radiance cannot be superficial, but must be born of conviction and commitment. Perhaps Paul, in this wonderful text, Philippians 1:21, expressed this as well as it can be expressed when he said, to me, as I look at it, as I see it, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. All or nothing. And I believe that was Paul's view of Christianity. All or nothing. Somehow I believe that if we would capture that conviction today concerning Christianity, our message, our interpretation of the gospel, we would have the radiance that would be passed on. As no institutionalism can impart it. I say we must have a conviction. We put it another way, we must be dedicated. Committed. When I think of that word commitment, there comes to my mind a football player who used to play in South Carolina, oh, let's say about 40 years ago. His name was Dode Phillips. He played for Little Erskine College. Some of you know Erskine. Erskine is the College of the Associate Reformed Presbyterians. And it is a small college, though a fine college. But Erskine never had much of a football team. Our foreman usually whipped them, say, 40 or 50 to nothing. They rarely ever won a game. Of course, if foreman can do that, you know, they aren't so hot. But Dode Phillips could have made any team in the United States, I believe. He could have been an All-American. He was a triple threat man. A grand specimen of manhood, 6 feet and more. He passed the ball, he punted the ball, he was fullback, he was quarterback. In fact, he was about the whole team. Now, evidently, Dode Phillips had a great love for Little Erskine College. I doubt if he ever got a cent. Maybe some little help, but they didn't have too many athletic scholarships in those days. Certainly not in Erskine. I remember one day, I can see him now. I think Furman had Erskine about 40 to nothing. Old Dode with his jersey torn almost completely off. Score about 40 to nothing. The game almost over. His little team with its back to the wall, and back to the goal. Old Dode playing. As if that game could yet be won. 4 years he played and gave his best for Erskine College. I think we might say that here was a man who was committed, who believed in his college and who believed in what he is doing. Well, perhaps so if we would transfer some of the enthusiasm, some of the dedication that men have for athletics, it wouldn't hurt Christianity. And our interpretation of it as messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All or nothing, seems to me. Paul said, to me, as I see it, and he was speaking after 25 years, struggle, beatings, you know all that he went through. After 25 years, a man who was familiar with the philosophies of his day, a man who had grown up in the noblest religion of his time, after 25 years, he could say, as I see it, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's personal religion. There is no religion, it seems to me, unless it's personal. To this extent, existentialism is right, isn't it? There must be a personal response to God which involves the total personality of a man. And a man must, as he stands in the pulpit or wherever he goes, he must interpret the gospel according to me. To me, to live, to be in human existence, to breathe, to play, to teach, to preach, to love, to laugh, to cry, to suffer tragedy. To me, all of life is Christ. You equate human existence with Christ. That's a conviction. All or nothing. Who is this Christ? Is he adequate? We've got a great formula here. When we are equating human existence with Christ, do we have at the other end of the line one who is adequate for this? To me, to live is Christ. To Paul, Christ was the pre-existent Christ. To Paul, Christ was the Messiah of Israel. To Paul, Christ was the Son of God. And of course, by Son of God, he meant that he was actually the Son of God in his essence, in his nature. He was the Son of God. To Paul, Christ was the risen Christ, one who broke the chains of death. Rose up from the grave. To Paul, Christ was the indwelling Christ who comes in the Holy Spirit. And to Paul, although we do not see it so prominently in his writings, to Paul, Christ was Jesus of Nazareth, the man of Galilee, the human being who walked and suffered and loved and died. All of these, you see, Christ was to Paul. We can begin to understand then how, when having met Jesus on the Damascus Road, he made a commitment. He made a dedication without reservation. And at the sundown then, it is not surprising that he could say, as I see it, to live is Christ. To die? Why, I've had a foretaste of what the life beyond is to be. Surely it will be gain. And throwing off the limitations of this life to enjoy the fullness of that of which I have had a foretaste, surely to die is gain. A philosophy or a theology, if you want to call it that, to live by and to die by. All or nothing, producing an enthusiasm, a radiance, a joy, which we need, it seems to me, in our interpretation of Christianity today. May we pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord.